Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there's a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. I am headed back to New Orleans for this interview, someone that I've been wanting to talk to for a while, Thomas Moore IV, who leads the program, is the lead bartender over at the Elysian Bar in New Orleans, and it's such a beautiful space, one of my favorite places there, and it's a beautiful bar program. The drinks are delicious. So Thomas has been getting himself out there in the competitions and bartending around town, and really, very quickly, making a name for himself. But he got his start, as he will tell you in a second, just working for dollars. And by that I mean, you know, pouring beers at the stadium. So let's sit down and talk to Thomas Moore, who has some fun things to tell us about persevering and making it work.
Okay. My name is Thomas Moore IV. Live in New Orleans, Louisiana, by way of Baton Rouge. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I've been in New Orleans since about 2013, so really like half my life. And I'm the lead bartender at the Elysian Bar here in New Orleans, located inside of Hotel Peter and Paul.
Hotel Peter Paul, when that place was empty, I remember walking past it, and I went to Catholic school. So, you know, I looked at that and I'm like, there had to have been some scary nuns in there in that building. And now it's been transformed into this like hotel and bar and restaurant and everything, and it's beautiful. So How lucky are you to get to work in that little space back there?
I know it's a beautiful building the Ash Group had put together. It feels, each room has like a different vibe about it. Cafe is more like happy, the parlor more like chill, the bar is like I can sit here for an hour kind of thing. Like people actually sit at the bar with me for hours.
Oh, I
you just get lost back there and the sunlight, right? Good. It's just an intimate setting. And
it's a beautiful
space. I
love
going to work every time.
So my question for you about that space is it haunted?
I haven't encountered any haunted weird things yet. I'm usually out of there about 12 o'clock. So I would say the church at night, like 11 o'clock, sounds weird. Like it's just like, oh snap, what is it so big and so empty?
It's big and empty over there, yeah, with that kind of stripped walls and all that.
So the bell tower still is up there, so it, like, you can hear the wind like
kind of rattling,
like swoosh through there. Like, it's so interesting to be in there at night.
That's amazing. I love that that is your space now. So when did you start bartending though?
I started bartending at the Superdome back when they were Mercedes-Benz.
Oh,
So
wow.
this was 2016, 2017. Started bartending there. I was on the 500 floor, 500 level.
Wow.
And so I was just baby bartender, didn't really know what a margarita was, a Bloody Mary, none of that stuff. I just wanted everybody to give me a dollar for every drink I could make. That was, if I could make 200, 300 drinks in a shift, then I made $200 or $300 for that night.
That's
So that was my
honest.
whole thing. So that made me like learn how to get faster too. But
Well,
that was my
what
starting
about
point.
volume at the Superdome? I mean, how many people were coming up for drinks like before that game started or anything like that? I mean,
It's so
oh.
crazy. My sales was no less than 5,000.
Sheesh, geez, that's crazy. That hurts my brain. And that's just you.
Yeah,
I
like
mean,
myself, and mind you, it's one, two, it's like three other bartenders in the same little portable, and this had a portable
it's portable.
makeshift portable bar. This
So
was
they
like
can roll
no,
that thing down to another section later if they need to.
yeah, there wasn't like no bar that was set and built and all nice and looking down in it. It wasn't no suites thing, it wasn't no box thing, it was portable right there,
Well, yeah,
cranking
because
out.
you were just in it for the tips.
Yeah, I was in it for the money.
Yeah, but I'm sure you learned something while you were there, now that
Oh,
you've been doing this
I
for a
learned
while.
how to use both hands for speed and what they look like, and like
Yeah.
how to have a conversation, get to know a person, but not let it linger to get to the next person and have that same interaction every time. So nobody felt like, oh, he spent more time with that person than me, so I'm not gonna leave him that dollar. So I was only thinking about a dollar, not five or ten. Let me get the dollar.
Well, that's like, I mean, that's a lot because I think if I was like just pulling beers at a sporting event, I'd just be all about speed and I probably wouldn't even be doing much more than, hey, what do you need? Okay, great, bye. That would be like it. So that's a lot, to be giving them a little bit of extra hospitality when they're just
Yeah, just a
coming up.
little bit.
Just a little bit, just enough for
Yeah,
the
just a little bit, make them feel special for the dollar.
dollar. So how long were you doing that?
I stayed there all the way up until COVID.
Oh, wow.
So like when I started it, so 17, 2017, 17, 18, I was there at the Superdome. And then one of the guests came a regular. I ended up starting having regulars. He was like, "Hey, you do this after this?" I was like, I didn't know the answer to that, so I said yes. So they booked me for a party. That turned into me getting booked for a wedding. And then at the wedding, I was bartending. They had little to anything like name brand and juices and stuff. So I was literally just making drinks out of whatever I had. And they was like, "Oh man, you like a little chef back there, you like a little bar chef back there." And so that's how Thomas the Bar Chef was born. Like it was a bride and groom that gave me that name. I
That's
can't, to be
cool.
honest, I can't remember the name of the bride and groom because it was in another phone. I lost all of those pictures when that phone got
Oh.
deleted. So, yeah, that's how I got coined Thomas the Bar Chef. It wasn't me being boastful or prideful or bragging or anything like that, because Jeffrey always trying to take my bar chef title. Like anytime I'm doing something, he's like, "You're not no bar chef." And trying to take it from me every time I'm doing something in the public eye, he's trying to take my bar chef title. So I'm like,
But you got it, and it was given to
yeah.
you, and that's the way that's supposed to happen. So when
Yeah.
you found yourself doing those events, was that really the first time you were just like, oh, I can make cocktails too? I mean, you said obviously when you were at the Superdome that you were doing like super basic, like margaritas probably,
Yeah,
right?
margarita, Bloody Mary. I made
Yeah.
over 10,000 gallons of Bloody Marys. Like, well over 10,000 gallons. But yeah, it turned into like me having to think more and like make stuff taste good with what I have. And so inside of like right before COVID, the new airport opened, MSY. And so I had applied to be a mixologist. I didn't even know what it was at the time. I was like, man, there's something big out there than just doing this Superdome stuff. Like, it gotta be. And so when they opened up and they was looking for mixologists, I was like, oh, that's the word for it. I never knew what the word for it. Somebody doing some other than like just, attending the bar, like crafting and creating what that was. And so I ended up applying for Mundo's, Cure, Emeralds, and it was one other, I think it was Dookie Chase. Leo Chase had a have a restaurant inside the airport. And then I ended up getting an interview with Neil and Kurt over at Kirko, and I
Ooh.
ended up getting hired on to work the bar. So I was the opening team with the Kiriko location in MSY.
What's is
And
it still
then
there? Do they still have something in there?
I
I
feel
don't.
like it's still there. It should still be there.
Do you remember what it's called?
Here.
It's Cure. I don't remember ever seeing that. I don't know.
It's in
Feel like I've
B, it's in
wandered
C.
around. Yeah.
It's in
Well,
C
next time.
Concourse.
Next time
Yeah,
I'll
C
wander.
Concourse. C Concourse behind Munch Factory.
Okay.
That's Munch Factory and then Cure, like right behind each other.
So you started learning the craft thing at an airport bar, but an airport
Yeah,
bar that was
well,
run by a couple great people.
yeah. So it was crazy. When they hired me, it was like this round table, like interview style, and like I'm black and they white, and I'm like, they not about to hire me because I have no idea what I'm doing. Like I'm just up here straight finesse. Like I don't know nothing about this a move or what a mar aperitif, what that is. Didn't know nothing about what they were talking about. But I think, just me being in there and they, felt how I was talking and my aura and my vibes or whatever. They ended up hiring me. So, and I told them, I said, if y'all hire me, yeah, I got to taste pretty much everything on this back bar because I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
So mind you, if you ever been a Cure, we had, I walked through all every single
There's a
bottle that they had
lot of
back.
bottles on those shelves. A
It's
lot of
so many bottles. The only bottles we didn't go through
bottles.
was the top ones. They special whiskey that
Those
they
are
have
like
at the two
reserve,
top.
right?
Yeah. So I tasted
You're not
all
going to be using
aperitifs,
those.
all
Should you get yourself like a
Amaros.
notebook and give your put down
No,
tasting notes for you?
by the time I got finished with that, I didn't know where I was.
I was gonna say, you must have been so blind in like every way. Like you couldn't stand, your taste buds were just psh.
After a while, my taste buds were shot, but
Yeah.
they did. I can say Neil Bodenheimer is the first person to teach me how to stir a cocktail.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I can never get my wrist just right for that. It's just one of those things. I watch you guys stir and I'm all, it looks so elegant and easy. And then I try to do it and I'm just like clunk, 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 clunk. I'm like, why can't I do this? And I'm sure it's not as bad as I think it is, but it is. If the skin is stirred, if it doesn't look as cool as that.
I didn't know how to really shake and break a tin. So shout out to them for giving me the opportunity to get into mixology. And then COVID happened 3 months later. And then we lose 2 years of our life.
And especially airport bar. I mean, the airport was probably completely shut down for a while.
We was the first thing to shut down. We was the first thing. Like I remember to this day, my supervisor saying, "Hey man, they got some wild going over across seas. I think it's gonna spread over here. So just get prepared to not be able to come to work."
And you guys got hit hard too because of Mardi Gras happening and everybody who traveled from all over bringing their COVID with them.
Yep.
Come hang out
So
with y'all.
soon after that, it was a done deal, and I thought that was the end of my mixology career.
But what happened? It wasn't, obviously.
It wasn't. What
Like
happened? What
when did
happened?
you get to start back up, or did you start practicing at home?
I started doing a little small stuff at home, but I actually switched whole industries. I started an automotive detail company. So during
Smart.
COVID, kind of went asked the CDC like to give me like steps to like how to continue to clean people's cars with, so I don't get sick. So I did that. I was fumigating homes with COVID, so I had bought like this electrothermic sanitizing machine. It's like a backpack, and I got
Jeez.
hospital grade equipment, and so I was
That is
spraying
serious.
people homes. So I would go suited, have full hazmat gear, and spray people home with active COVID. And then I was in the courier industry, so I was
Jeez.
transporting DNA for it was like DNA gene therapy for people with MLS. So I would have to drive to Florida and back to
Oh
Louisiana,
my
go pick it up
God.
off. Yeah, go pick it up
You're like
off
in all the hot
the
zones.
Yeah, I was just actively around it. And so, and then I started having to go into computer and into hospitals, taking people COVID swabs and tests and delivering it straight to the research facility. And then I found out about turning tables.
Ah,
End up
okay.
two
So
year, two, 2.5 years of
you
doing like
started
a million
learning.
jobs.
You started learning all that craft stuff and then COVID knocked you down. But turning tables then got you back in. basically.
Yeah, it was crazy because just being me talking noise to the bartender at a party. My wife threw a party for her dad. I forgot what year it was. I think it had to be 50. And Jay was the person that she ended up booking for the party. And so I'm talking noise. I'm like, man, I used to do that. I need to get back into that. And blah blah blah. You know, just shooting noise like you usually do when you go out with a bunch of bartenders. I was like, I really want to get back into it. And she was like, cool, because I need help. And it's because she was doing her mobile bartending business. And I knew I had mine before I started craft. And I was like, I want to get back into the event business, like the event and party business. And she was like, if you're serious, give me your information. I'll call you next time I need some help. And so she ended up needing me for an event. Like one time after that, I did the event. She's like, oh, yeah, you know what you're doing. I was like, I remember a little bit. And then she called me back for another one. And she was like, you know, you want to get back into it. I think turning tables would be like a good program for you. I was like, what is that? And she ran down to me about the program and the education and, you know, opening up doors and stuff like that. Ended up applying and getting accepted and learning everything I learned. And then now I'm here, kind of like a quick fast forward.
Yeah, well, tell me what the turning tables experience was like for you. For, if there's people listening who don't know what it is. I mean, I know, but.
Turning Tables is a nonprofit based in New Orleans, founded by Tory folks to pretty much, in my opinion, open up doors for people of color and minority inside of hospitality. Like I said, I was in the bar business since 2017 and had no idea what Tales of the Cocktail was, had no idea how to get into like mixology or crafting cocktails. I probably couldn't even get into a craft cocktail bar back then. With all of the gift of gab I had, still didn't have the knowledge. So turning tables directly penetrates that lack of knowledge accessibility because it's either expensive to taste, it's expensive to learn about new products and spirits and stuff like that. And if you don't have experience in some of these high profile places, they're not going to hire you because you're not about to waste my money trying to practice and learn. So Turning Tables is geared towards creating an equitable, diverse, and inclusive hospitality industry in the city of New Orleans and across the world. Do that by 12 weeks, going over all types of spirits, vodka, all of the spirits, wine. We have our own rum now, so we're opening up lane to create a pathway for somebody who wants to brand ambass or do that. Have a direct like guideline. You got a good product and you can go out and bash for it and sell it and have that. We're creating so many other avenues for black and brown bartenders in the industry. That's just kind of like a quick synopsis of turning tables.
That's amazing.
So
It's something you're still actively involved in.
yeah, so I'm the first to reach a hand back for his mentorship in my experience. So the last cohort, I was able to be a mentor to one of the current cohort members. And so I'm thinking of that's probably my way of giving back. So we have a new cohort that's getting ready to be active, I think this week or next week. And so if they want to work with me, I'll bring them in and teach them what I know.
I give you all my heart. Girl, my sun sets anywhere you are. Maybe I'm a dreamer. You're still my queen.
It's just happening so fast.
That's really cool. Well, so okay, so you did turning tables, and is this when you got your notebook and you started taking notes about all that booze that you were tasting?
Yes, it's a lot of so much
Tried it
tasting.
all and you were like, whoa, you might remember like
Yes.
five things.
Yes. I got like a good like background because like my skill set was putting together
flavors and just things like just liquid flavors. And
well,
I didn't know kind of
you've
like,
got that bar chef nickname for a reason.
Yeah, so
you were working
I
without
had an
even
idea, like,
having these skills yet. You hadn't even tried these things yet.
Yeah, so I was just like, this is why those things go well together and why these pair and what this is and what a bitter is. Because I didn't know a bitter until I made ill them. And so it's pretty much like gave me all of the resources and tools that I need. And I've met so many people in the industry so far. Mm-hmm. And like going to Camp Runnemunk.
That's awesome.
Yeah, whiskey. It's like a week of whiskey and learning and brand activations and like just a moment to relax. And I'm going back for leadership in June. So me and three other people will be making a cocktail for that week. So well over thousands of cocktails. Well over thousands of cocktails, probably 10,000 cocktails.
Well, it seems since you've gotten out of the turning tables, like since you have kind of graduated, in a way, mm-hmm. now you're in the mentorship side of things, that it's worked, So was Elysian the first spot you wound up at after you finished turning tables, or did you have to work your way?
Crazy enough, my intern, well, they call it externship because they get paid 6 weeks of like, because we have community partners like bars that partner with Turning Tables to bring in like the cohort members so they can get on hand, active, like training behind bars. And so my place was Cure. I went back to Cure, the actual physical location.
That's
and,
amazing.
And Scott was my mentor there. So it was like a surreal moment to go back and hang with them guys for a little bit. And Gina and Liz over there, mm-hmm. just everybody, Chef Aaron, everybody over there showed me love and took care of me, made sure I was straight. And then after that, I got hired at the Collins Hotel. So I worked at the Collins Hotel on the weekends. And then after the Collins hired me, Elysian Bar hired me. So I was on Elysian Bar in the beginning of the week and Collins at the end of the week.
All right. Well, then I got to ask you about Collins. Is that one haunted?
I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah.
it's some unexplainable things that I've seen happen in that place.
I've been there. I've definitely been to that one. And I got vibes when I walked in. And I'm like, oh, no, it's New Orleans and all. And everyone says every single thing is haunted. And I kind of feel like this planet's been here a long time. Every patch of dirt could be haunted if it wants to be, But when I went into that place, I was just like, there's definitely something here. I don't know what, but I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it was. It get like after a while, because, sometimes we won't close to like, I think we do like last call on Fridays and Saturdays, like 10, not 10,
yeah,
like
11:30. It's still a hotel bar, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
so
11:30, like last call. And so we getting out of there roughly 12, 15, mm-hmm. sometimes 1. And after that 1 o'clock moment, I was like, all right, y'all, I got to go, because I feel weird. I feel a little weird. I can't even spirits waking up now. Time to go.
Yeah, seriously, they're going to be out on the streets, too, because that over in that district, yeah, they're out and about.
Yes, indeed.
Well, that's
so, yeah,
amazing.
Those are two jobs I worked last year. I felt like I was behind for some reason, so I took two bar jobs. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of going to Camp Runnemunk, going to Bar Methods, I was accepted into Bar Methods. Cool. It's a New York style of what Turning Tables do, mm-hmm. Just for 3 days, though. Chris runs that program. And then I went to Portland Cocktail Week.
Oh, cool.
All that last year, working two bars and all of that. My first Tales of the Cocktail was last year. Won the competition for Mr. Boston and Sazerac House. And then did a whole bunch of brand activations. Like my year last year was so packed.
Well, I see, follow you on the Instagram and everything. And it seems that you are doing competitions. You did that. And so tell me about that competition last year, is Mr. Boston, right? Is what it is.
Yes.
I always want to call it Mr. Boston Shake for some reason.
Tales of the Cocktails. It was focused on Tales of the Cocktail.
Yeah.
And it was Tell Your Tale for Tales, mm-hmm. kind of that was the vibe. First time ever like doing something, putting myself out there, and I was just like, I'm gonna do it. All I can do is lose, Like I'm an athlete by heart, so I'm used to losing and just moving on with life.
Cool.
And so I needed inspiration for the cocktail, and like Unfortunately, I lost my mom and dad.
Oh, I'm so
I lost my
sorry.
mom in 2012, and then my dad had passed the year I got accepted into the turning table. So that was
Oh.
2022.
Jeez, he didn't get to see you on this new path. So,
No,
oh, they know. You know, they know.
I feel them touch me every now and then. So the cocktail was really, the tail was really them, and cognac was my oh.
Oh, you're back.
Sleep. My hand just went crazy. Oh, no. Got tired.
So you did the drink in honor of them, and you did
Yeah,
cognac.
so the cognac was my dad. That was the a physical representation of my dad. He was smooth like cognac, always had his hair slicked back, worked in Gambino's bakery all my life. And my mom always used rum. I had rum in the house. So it was a rum cocktail, split-based cocktail with black raspberry, lemon, tiki bitters, and vanilla extract and lemon. Built like a
Yum.
julep. Yes, built like a julep, but with crushed ice, powdered sugar, and mint, and some blackberries on the top. But
That
all of that
sounds
was to
so
tie in my
good.
childhood. The black raspberries was an ode to my cousins and my family. We used to go into the bushes and pick raspberries off the bush. And then my auntie would take those raspberries and make pies. So the vanilla
Nice.
extract, tiki bitters was representative of the pies my auntie used to make, and the berries was my
'Cause you
cousins
get
and
that
us.
spice in there, yeah.
Yep, picking all of them, and then my mom and dad. And so, and then I live in New Orleans, so the julep was the rustic vibes and feels of what I feel when I see New Orleans in a cup. So
That
it was really
sounds
like
so
a piece
good.
of me in a cup. I ain't never do that before.
And you won for it.
It was so
See?
crazy. Because it was two winners. It was me and Jonathan from Seattle. But I didn't care to win or nothing like that. You know, everybody compete to win, but it was just like I just wanted to put myself out there. I was like, I'm not afraid to like put myself out there anymore. And then I always took the back seat, like in my whole life, my career. Like I was like, nah, I want to be the person behind the camera recording you. I don't want to be in front of the camera. So all last year was the whole opposite of what I feel was my core, and that's being on the back scene. And everybody like, oh yeah, like I went to Portland Cocktail Week, and somebody recognized me from Instagram, and I was like, I'm there now. I'm that person now. Like somebody just said, hey, I recognize you from Instagram. I was like, I've never had that happen to me in my life. I'm not gonna say I made it, but it felt weird as hell. Like I was just like, oh my God. Somebody just came and like grabbed me, like, you're Thomas from Instagram. I was like, I am. Thank you.
Barshef,
I don't,
Thomas Barshef.
I'm like, I don't even know how to ex this is this, I accept this. Like, what is it was so crazy.
I get it. I get it. But thank you sounds like the right thing to say. But that's cool though, because if they were excited enough, then they like what you're doing. And you, that drink you described, so I love knowing the story. That's just, that warms my heart. We grew blackberries at my house and we picked them, but we ate them all before my dad could do anything with
We
them.
tried, but my auntie was quick.
Your aunt was just like, no, you got to give me some of
Yeah,
those. Not having
she
it.
took them and rolled with them. I was just like, man.
We would
So we
eat
used to
those
put them
so
on some
bad.
sugar and let them sit. So
Yeah.
she would, and we so we were like, let them sit, and she'll just come in and take them and dump
Yeah, see,
off to
that's the
our house
thing
cooking.
is when you let them sit, because we used to grow strawberries too. When you let it sit with some sugar, then you get that juice. That's the best part. You want to get all that
Best
juice.
part. If we was kids, we all we wanted was sugar.
Yeah, totally.
Thank
But that drink sounds amazing. It sounds so good. Is that a drink that's ever going to show up, you think? Did you put it on your menu at Elysian, or is it a little too complicated to put there?
nah, it's not that. I did not. That one I don't want to really
You want to
share.
keep for yourself? I can appreciate that.
that one close. Like I never did nothing like that, and it means like that drink means a lot. I call it the Robin because that's the name of the street we grew up on, Robin Street.
Aww.
So it's called the Robin, and it's just an
Love.
ode to it's an ode to me, like as a person, and it's accepting some trauma and some things, you know, in my
Yeah.
life, and like putting it all into a glass and letting somebody else taste that. Like, was the wildest thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, you made it, you turned it into something beautiful, and obviously people felt that, you know. That's so
It was fun.
cool. You
Yeah,
must
it
have been
was.
real proud when that was done, 'cause you that
I
was like
was.
your whole family just won that, you know.
So my wife was there. My the owners of Legion Bar was there. My manager, from the Collins was there, like so many people from Turning Tables that supported me was there. It was just, it was like the room went so loud. I was, because it was so quiet. It was so quiet because the producer wanted people to be quiet because it's live stream.
Yeah.
And I was like, I work in a bar with music and people talking and laughing. I'm like, hey, can y'all snap your fingers or clap or something? I just can't have this. I can hear a pencil drop.
It's so sterile, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I it was just a great experience. I liked being, I'm enjoying more being in front of the camera.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if someone jumps over to your Instagram, which is Thomas the Bar Chef, right? And
yes.
And you're on there, like doing drinks, you're like presenting. I saw one you just did very recently. And so out here, I'm in Los Angeles. I know you're in New Orleans. I'm in Los Angeles. So it's dry. We got the dry. But it's been raining out here for the last 2 years. We're just like, we had drought forever. But, you know, the world is changing. So now we have rain. And it's going to rain again this weekend. But this week, it's like 80 degrees, beautiful, sunny. And we're finally, I'm like, oh, it's going to be spring. Finally, you know, we're getting it.
Finally.
We're getting it. Finally, yeah. You know, and probably next week, it's going to be 80s during the week too. And you had a recipe you threw up there that was a simple, like, I think it's the hibiscus limoncello spritz.
Yeah.
And I was watching, and did you make your hibiscus syrup? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And I was watching that and I was just like, oh yeah, I want some of that right now. That sounds real good. It's like 80 degrees. I can sit on my balcony and just sip on this. This sounds perfect.
Just sip on it. It's a perfect outside sipper. That's what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, see, so there's some stuff there and you have a great presence. You're up there, but I noticed that you are in another competition.
Yes, I am.
What's this all about? Is this the next competition you've done, or have you done a couple more competitions in the meantime?
Well, I'm in works of applying to a few more this month. But this one, I heard about it through a mentor, Josh Davis with Brown and Balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's so for Black and Brown bartenders in the industry, we don't get a lot of opportunities to showcase ourselves. Hence why Turning Tables was born and created. Also at Brown and Balance, it just seems like people of color don't get the same opportunities to compete or submit recipes that are taken seriously. So LaToya and the team at Festival Noir and Upscale Magazine and Uncle Nearest putting on this, The Great Shakeup, which is a all-Black competition geared towards the uplift of Black and Brown bartenders.
Nice.
So I'm pretty sure a lot of people applied. They only chose four. I'm one of the four. And so we fly out to Charleston, one of the Black city, and great food and beverage culture out there. So why not, you know? And that's really the gist of the competition, is to highlight, you know, Black and Brown bartenders.
Exciting.
On like a national level. Almost, I feel like what they're going after with this competition is something like world class. I can envision this being like top 100 Black bartenders that you should know type thing. So I'm on the faithful forefront of the first round. So we're gonna get a lot of the cracks.
I know.
The broken glasses.
You're testing it out.
You know, we're gonna be the guinea pigs, but we're gonna come out there and have a great time. They have a guest host. It's gonna be like a day party. We're doing some guest shifts the day before. And it's like three rounds, different categories each round, chop style. So somebody gonna get eliminated every round, and then the winners. We don't know who we're winning yet, but I say y'all taking me to Charleston.
You got a pretty big trip. You get to go on this trip.
To y'all is Lanyap. You know what I'm saying? Y'all doing me a favor. Thank you.
I love that. It's always like, yep, I got a little extra from this. It's okay.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. I love that you're getting out there, putting your face out there. It's important. It's really important to get out there. And it seems like you're loving it. So now that you've hit this point, you're the lead over at Elysian. You're doing this stuff. What is making you happy about being a bartender right now?
When it comes down to like just happiness, I look at like just enjoying like moments in life. I get more happiness out of that. And being behind a bar, you get to experience all those things with
different people all over the world. Like everybody come to us, especially hospitality, and especially the bar and restaurant, to do everything.
And especially in New Orleans, everybody goes there.
Mourn, celebrate, get away. Like they come and visit us for all types of reasons. And I'm an unlicensed therapist, right? So it's like being able to impart some wisdom or learn, like that trade back and forth is helpful. Because behind the bar, like at the bar, is usually like people who sit at the bar usually wanting to talk, wanting to get engaged and go back and forth about, you know, anything. Well, I stay away from religion and politics a lot.
Yeah, totally.
You know, people are too one-sided. I keep those conversations, but it's really that drives me and make me happy. And then like when I can put something, I get what I told Chef, I was like, Chef, I get something that you'll never get. And that's instant, like that instant endorphin rush of somebody enjoying something I just created.
Yeah, that's true.
So when somebody take a sip, I'm like, oh, it's so good. I don't care if you're a bartender, that does something to you and it makes you feel something, even though you suppress it. You feel like, oh, they love that drink I just made. Like that, that's the high that I'm on.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the high that I'm on. Like every time somebody drinks something that I craft or create, they're like, yes, love it. Ooh, give me another one. And I see that bill get $80 on this one drink. I'm like, okay, I really made something that made you either go back in time or take you away or just made you feel happy.
Yeah.
So you wanted to experience that multiple times along with the conversation that I am. And that's really what I get out of bartending. Like that's what's keeping me going. That's what's driving me. The fact that I'm able to.
Sounds like more than a dollar at this point.
Yeah, it grew from a dollar to like 10 and happiness. Let the music take your mind. Ooh, just release and you will find. You're gonna fly.
Talking about people from all over the world and all the influences and stuff. So I got to ask the music stuff. We got to talk a little bit about music. And when you were talking about like building stories into your drinks and things, I wondered if music, and it doesn't have to have, I wondered if music ever wound up there. You know, did you ever have music inspire you with a cocktail or making stuff? I mean, you are in such a music city.
It's crazy because like I'm from Baton Rouge, so we have our rap and hip hop music is like jigging music, so it's like cardio. So the dancing and where I'm from is like jumping jacks on times 1,000. So it's very, very upbeat. And then down here you have second line style music, whereas you dance in the same kind of speed, but it's with instruments and stuff like that. So I find myself, if I'm in a creative hole or if I'm looking for inspiration, I'll put on like some jazz or second line, like upbeat second line music or some bounce artists in New Orleans, because the way they sample different songs and the way they add their own flair to it, that's creativity using you know, like frequencies, right? So I ain't gonna say I named a drink after music, but I've have played a lot of music while crafting and creating. And when I created that drink for the competition, I was playing a lot of Kim and Smokey Robinson. Cruising was me and my mom's song. So that was
it was getting into the drink.
Yeah.
I like it.
Like that.
Oh,
that
sounds so good. Cruising.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a disservice if I keep trying to sing it. Nobody can sing like Smokey.
I love it when we're cruising together. Yeah. That was, and then
we
did
ideas.
right. We did, at Leisure, we do have a cocktail that is inspired by Prince. The Let's Go Crazy, where he started off with Dearly Beloved, we'll gather here. So his name is Dearly Beloved, and the drink is purple.
There you go.
So yeah, me and Tim crafted, and Tim is the head bartender at Elysian. Tim crafted the final recipe. But I was playing around with the butterfly pea. So it's a chili vodka, butterfly pea, grappa, and some lemon, a little habanero tincture.
Nice.
It's one I popped up.
Gallowsing. That's
Yeah,
good.
it's
That's
what,
good.
not even that. It's more chili flavor rather than chili
Than that.
spice.
Nice. Oh, that's so much better. I can drink it then because I look like I can handle spices, but I can't.
Yeah, because like,
Yeah.
if it's spicy, I'm like, you're gonna taste chili, you're not gonna feel it. And they're like, oh, okay, and they're
Yeah.
drinking it, ordered three more. So
That's
it's a great,
perfect.
it's, yeah.
Perfect. Well, so what about you? Just said that you and your mom had your little songs. So when you were growing up, what was the music around the house? What were you used to listening to
Just I felt
out
like
there
I
in
was an
Baton
old
Rouge?
soul, like old soul. Like my mom, like played old. She either played like old, like older music, like Sam Cooke, or it's like old, like Southern Baptist church music. Like I can't remember, like even like Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin was alive when I was growing up. So it was like that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's the type of music we had around the house. And then I know I gotta clean up. Like, oh, I feel like cleaning
That's funny, you had musical cues for your chores.
Yeah, that anytime I hear that song now, I just start cleaning up. Like it'll activate me cleaning up. I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta start picking stuff up. Let me
Kind
clean
of
up.
funny. I never really thought about that, but I remember my mom, when like we all had chores and we had to do them on Saturdays. I still do all my chores on Saturdays, but when we were doing our chores, my mom would sit in this chair in our living room and she would just sit at the stereo and listen to music. And she'd listen to music and watch us do our chores.
At least,
She,
like, come help us. At least my mom
yeah,
would at
oh
least help.
no, this is her day off. She's watching her
Oh,
kids do what they're supposed to do. She's just sitting there in like some like pretty lounge house dress or something, listening to like
yeah,
Kolya's and making watching us all do work.
that is funny. That song's music like that just triggers like certain songs trigger like me thinking about like a certain point. Like my dad wasn't like big on music. He was just like work, like working at home. But my mom, she was always playing some church music, or my mom used to sing, so she would be humming music that she's creating in her head. Like she never like sung out loud, but she would harmonize and make Negro spirituals hums and stuff like that. Because I kind of remember, like, I mean, my grandmother, which her, my mom's mom, was a slave, and so she like my mom grew up in that era where it's just like, I don't know if I would survive like that.
Yeah,
So
the
she would
South. Oh,
be,
yeah.
yeah. So she would be singing those little songs and like very motivational songs that she would be creating herself, which I think was dope. And then a lot of church music, a lot of church music, a lot of church
Well,
music.
church music in black churches is a little different than church music in white churches, you know, because like you were saying, there's a lot more inspirational stuff there, I think, because it's like you got to get through, you got to do this. I mean,
Yeah,
I've,
it's like push, it's like push through music.
yeah, I got through, you know, I grew up going to like Catholic church, Catholic school and Catholic church, and those were all like, I don't know, just reminding you that he's watching you.
Don't they have
Yeah,
the long drawn out song like,
there's a
oh,
whole bunch. I know I was in the choir too. There was a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. And but in the 70s, I remember they started getting a little hippie about it. So they'd kind of pull in some songs that were like secular songs, but maybe could sound like they're religious because they were like positive. So we'd be so grateful. Oh, we're gonna sing John Denver song. Awesome. Because it's not like it's not some depressing, long, dirgy dirt like church thing where it's just like, oh, you're in trouble now. He sees you. He this, like, oh my God. So when I started learning about music in black churches, I was just like, oh, well, that's fun. That's
It's till you're in there
good
for 4 hours and you're
fun.
like, I'm hungry and I want to go home.
I guess that, I guess if you're singing that much all day, singing and dancing, you would get real hungry real fast,
Yeah, real,
huh?
real fast. They started doing that too, where they'll take like instrumentals or like tempos from like secular music and start like remixing them and stuff like that, which got a lot of the young people interested. Like, oh, okay, I know that song, but that's not that song.
Yeah, it's
But
not
I like what
exactly
y'all
safe,
doing.
but yeah. They're trying to reach out to kids, you
Yeah, trying
know.
to reach out.
So then, well, once you were out of there, you know, what's the music you're into these days? What do you have you know, backing you up? You were saying some of the bounce stuff since you're down there in New Orleans, but what are you
Yeah,
into at
so
home?
I listen to a lot of bounce like that, and I listen to a lot of Zydeco
Oh
style
yeah.
music. If I'm doing karaoke, I'm probably gonna sing Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton.
Really? Nice.
I think I've done it one time before. I was like, if I ever pick up, then I'll definitely sing that. Like I said, I like slower music, so I still like feel like I'm old soul. So any R&B like
Yeah.
Usher, Kim,
Yeah.
I still gotta listen to Boosie every now and then. You know, loose as a goose, gotta keep that part in me. I do like the new song though by T-Pain and Meghan Trainor. Been Like This. That have you heard that yet?
No, I haven't heard it. T-Pain is like, he's someone that just always surprises me with
Man, I
everything that
was
he can
like.
do. I mean, when he first came on, I thought he was a clown. I was just like, ah, he's got his little machines. He's singing this way and it's all party stuff and all that. And then, you know, he's doing stuff with other people. I'm like, well, he has a sense of humor about himself. So he knows he's silly. But then I'm finding out, oh, he writes this stuff. And he also, when he's not with the recorder, you know, with the vocoder and all that stuff, just the other things he can do and just all
He
the
actually
knowledge
can
he
sing, which
has. Yeah, he can sing. He sings great.
He won the first, he was the first winner of Masked Singer.
Oh, was he? I never watched that. So, and he was
And so
singing.
Matt. Yeah, it's Masked Singer. They dress up in
Yeah,
costumes,
I know what it
and so
is, but I've
I
never
was watching
watched it.
the first season he won, because
I'm gonna have
nobody
to go
could
see
pick
this.
up.
Yeah.
They couldn't nobody pick out his voice.
Because they weren't
Like
used to hearing it. They weren't
they
used
were
to
used to
hearing
hearing
it
the
like that.
auto-tunes.
That's very good. That's good that he won. So no, he's somebody like over the years, I've really grown to respect him and what he does. So I'll go listen to
T-Pain
that
is a
song. As soon
musical
as we're done.
genius.
Yeah, as soon as we're done, I'll go listen to that
T-Pain and Megan, like they made a song together, and it's a very catchy upbeat song. And I want to like find some inspiration and like see how I could do that and do all this cocktail to that song.
song. Oh, all right. It's gonna be your summer task, you know?
Summer anthem, you know, it's a summer cocktail.
Yeah, get that for
T-Pain.
the sweaty summers in New Orleans.
Hopefully I can get a repost by T-Pain. So T-Pain, if you ever watch
That
this,
would be
repost you for a
amazing.
cocktail.
So, well, then on a personal note for you, when, you know, I always ask people this, and sometimes, you know, for bartenders, it's, I mean, it's different. Like when you have some downtime for yourself, when you're chilling out, or, you know, when you're out and you're not working, what are you listening to? What are you drinking? What's that stuff?
If I'm out, it depends on like what my brain gets. So like right now I'm in competition
Competition
mode.
mode.
Cause, yeah, so usually I'm out my original way. Like if I'm not in competition mode, I'm just a beer and a shot and maybe
Yeah.
like a daiquiri or something like that.
Yeah.
But now I'm in competition mode. I'm trying to see like get inspiration from my friends. So I'm seeing what's on a cocktail menu. I'm trying different cocktails that they craft and created just to get my wheels spinning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm probably if I'm like out and about, I'm probably listening. Right now, I've been stuck on like just a newer rap artist. His name is Mexican OT, the Luchador.
Of course. I don't know
He
it.
got
I'm
the
gonna have to
song
Google that.
called he got the song called Dot Johnny Dang. And like I'm just like obsessed with this one song right now. It's like I probably played it like 1,000 times. But it's just like I like his voice. I like the way he rap. It's just like I'm always in some rap music, so I'm trying to get into like the newer age style rap music, which I don't enjoy much because it's not lyrical at all. I'm like a lyric. I like
It's
the
because we're
Kendrick
song
Lamar
people,
style.
you know, we like to sing along.
I like J. Cole. I like the tempo and voice of J. Cole. I like Kendrick Lamar music. I like music in that where I like to get something out of the music, even if it's like ratchet and like just dancing. Like I could get something out of the music, but the music is like it's in between now, like the newer age music, and they're doing a lot of sampling older style music now. Like they're
Yeah.
doing old sound. I'm like, I know this instrumental, and it comes to be out one of my favorite songs. I'm like, it's
It
going
keeps
back in time,
looping.
and
Yeah.
keep looping.
That stuff
Like I
comes
want
and
to say I
goes.
like. I want to say I listen to Kanye, but not after all of Kanye being Kanye. I can't listen to Kanye no more.
Yeah, he's made it hard for us.
But his music back then was so good. Like,
No,
good.
definitely good. No, you're right. I think about like hip hop and when I like, you know, there are a couple golden ages, I think, you know, but one I remember loving is 90s stuff because there was so much musicality in it still. And it kind of comes and goes, you know, in the years since it comes and goes. So you get some that are very musical underneath it. And then I got a hook, you know, I can get into it that way. So I'm like, all right, it's cool. I'll listen to what you're going to do because you got me a song. You got me a song back then. So that's awesome. Well, that sounds like a
I catch
great
myself
place.
listening to T-Pain and stuff like that. That's
Yeah.
kind of like my wheelhouse. Like
Yeah.
the 2000s, like that Gerald 50 Cent, the
Yeah, but they
G
had
Unit
songs.
era, yeah, G Unit era, Cameron era. I ain't gonna P Diddy going through this thing right now, but Puffy had an era during that time frame where he made a lot of good music that I like. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love it. Love it all. So this sounds like a good place to wrap this. So I know we talked about your Instagram. So, but if there's anything you want to share, the socials for Elysian or yourself, anything like that you want to share before we sign off? You want people to know so they can follow you?
Y'all can follow Thomas Moore the Fourth at Thomas the Bar Chef on Instagram. Elysian Bar is on Instagram as well. Elysian Bar, the Collins Hotel. Give them a follow, and that's about all I have.
That's everything. We gotta follow your Instagram to find out what's going on with you
Yeah,
and see if you
the
quit the
mystery.
competition in a couple of weeks.
Hey, I'm gonna put on
Yeah.
a show if I don't.
I know. You get to go to Charleston. It's all good. Well, thank you so much, Thomas. Don't go away, but it was so great to talk with you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so you know what to do. Get onto Instagram and follow at Thomas, Thomas, Thomas the Bar Chef, and keep track of his competitions. There's one, if you are listening to this around the time this comes out, one this very weekend. We were talking about it, the one in Charleston. Whether he wins or loses, he gets to go to Charleston. Man, that's not a bad thing. So go follow him over there. Actually, he also put together a little playlist for us, and you can find that on the Music and Booze with Mo Spotify profile. Thanks so much to Thomas. He's just charming, 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 and I so look forward to all of his future success and can't wait to go to the Elysian again. I highly recommend you go there too next time you're in New Orleans. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at themermaidla.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.